Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. And so far, with my guest, Dave Asprey, we've spoken about our beautiful mitochondria. We've talked about how we use fat for fuel. We've talked about how to hack sleep and to get more sleep in less time. We have lots more to cover here. We're going to talk about stem cells. We're going to talk about collagen, exercise. There's brain training exercises and Dave has a huge cognitive performance facility in Santa Monica where he has different types of gadgets and gizmos and exercise techniques and all sorts of great things on how to increase brain training, basically. It's all just information. This is all what we need in order to understand our bodies don't have to be limited by time. Love the way that we look at things. All right, we will be right back with Dave Asprey. I am Lisa Gar, and you're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. And by the way, if you would like to listen to any of my radio shows that I do other days of the week, 5 days a week, you can go to my website, which is theawareshow.com, and you can see video shows that I do on YouTube and all sorts of things are on there. All right, so my guest today, Dave Asprey, he started off as a Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur running a technology strategy company and now has learned how to biohack his body and teaches this in many, many ways for people to do. So, Dave, can we talk a little bit about, first of all, can you have too much fat? So, when you're talking about fat for fuel, can you eat like eggs and avocado and bacon and oil in one meal? I mean, is that going to super saturate the body?
The short answer is that it depends on the type of fat and whether or not the fat is damaged.
Whoa.
So
Okay.
if the answer is corn oil and soybean oil and canola oil, and these are, or even bacon that's been cooked at high temperature, yeah, it's going to be inflammatory and you're probably not going to like how you feel and you're not going to like how your brain works. But if you are eating avocados and gently cooked eggs where the yolk is still runny so that the fats in the yolk haven't been damaged, and even bacon from a pastured, healthy animal, not the industrial farm stuff. Yeah, actually, you can eat as much of that as you want, at least as much as your system can digest, and it'll be incredibly satisfying. You won't feel hungry, and you will feel good.
Okay. All right. Can we talk about collagen? We were at a recent natural products expo, and collagen is all the rage. It's in every bar, it's in every protein powder. What does collagen do for the body? And is there a good kind and a bad kind?
Sure. I really helped to start this trend. Going back
Ah.
to the very beginning of Bulletproof, I was the only guy out there selling collagen protein in a just as a protein powder in a meaningful way. And there's still a Bulletproof upgraded collagen is a major product for us. It comes from grass-fed cows, and in our bodies, collagen is the connective tissue that connects almost everything. Your hair is made of collagen, your nails and your skin are made of collagen, but the matrix of your bones, the fascia that connects your organs, it's all collagen. And collagen has very strange properties because it also carries electricity differently than nerves do. In fact, the connective tissues there are what we influence when we do things like acupuncture. And we didn't know that about collagen until relatively recently. When you eat what your grandmother used to eat, if you would have looked on her stove, every time you have chicken or turkey or any other meal, your grandmother likely boiled the bones and made a soup out of them. If you eat the way that you would in Japan or in China, there's always a bone broth that's involved. And bone broth was the traditional way of making collagen. You might also eat things like pig's knuckles or pig ears or chicken feet and all these weird foods that we don't eat anymore in the West. We ate those foods because they were rich in collagen, and collagen isn't inflammatory the way like muscle meat or some of the other proteins, even the plant proteins that we eat can be. So it's kind of a magic protein that lets you increase your protein without increasing inflammation. And what I do is I make a protein that's carefully extracted using a low temperature process without acid, using enzymes the way our body's digesting. So the molecules are still intact, and I'll use that collagen in my Bulletproof coffee, or I'll put it in other recipes. And there are some recipes in Headstrong, the new book, as well as my other cookbook called Bulletproof the Cookbook. And then what happens when you do this is you feel really good, and it helps to provide the building blocks for your joints and for bones, and it makes you look better too. It's one of the reasons that I have really good skin and very flexible joints, even though I'm 6'4 and I'm 44.
Wow. So now, is collagen, is it a dairy-based type of protein, if you said it comes from grass-fed cows?
It actually comes from either joints. And in fact, if you get gelatin, gelatin is made of collagen, but it's kind of the disgusting parts.
It's not dairy.
I used to make that.
Right.
So gelatin is usually made from hooves and mm-hmm. other unmentionables. The collagen that we use for the Bulletproof collagen comes from the skin of cows that were meant for food. So they would have used the skin to send it off to a leather factory somewhere, but instead we carefully capture it, refrigerate it, and then process it enzymatically to get something that's very different than the street grade gelatin that you might find if you were going to have Jell-O. It doesn't gel the way we make it either, so it's completely flavorless when you put it in your Bulletproof coffee, and it doesn't change the consistency. It's not all thick and gloppy the way like a whey protein or something would be. So it's a way to sort of hide protein in food. Even kids will eat it. My kids always have collagen almost every day, and so do I, because it's part of having them build strong bones and just strong skin and making sure that the system runs the way it was meant to.
So it's good for someone if they have a broken bone or osteoporosis or bone marrow issues as well, right?
It's going to have less of an effect on bone marrow. What if it helps bone marrow is exercise and eating the right kinds of fats and getting enough oxygen. What helps the bones themselves is definitely collagen and getting the right minerals and then the right kind of exercise and vitamin K2 and vitamin D3 and some of the other minerals that you can take. It's interesting, though, in that every tissue in the body relies on collagen, the fascia that connects everything together and carries information in the body, that's collagen. So you really want to have collagen, I say, at least 10 grams every day. And that's about a scoop and a half of the Bulletproof collagen. We put it in the Bulletproof collagen bars that also have brain octane. And you can build it into your life. The other big trend these days is bone broth. And you've probably seen this at restaurants. We have a Bulletproof coffee shop / restaurant in Santa Monica, California. And we make a bone broth there from grass-fed beef bones. And it's a really flavorful soup. But if you want to get real collagen protein, you don't get very much in bone broth. So we actually add more of the Bulletproof collagen to the broth to get the count up. And since at home, I'm usually too lazy to make a bone broth and to have a big pot boiling all the time, I just add a couple scoops of the collagen protein to my Bulletproof coffee and I'm good to go.
You make it easier. So speaking of exercise, so oxygenation of the blood and the brain and so forth is fantastic. But what types of hacks on exercise do you have or do you know about?
Oh, there's so many fun things you can do. In Headstrong, I recommend two different kinds of exercise that are shown to cause your mitochondria to be the strongest, which means you'll have more energy and more resilience. And the first one is that if you walk for 20 minutes a day at a moderate pace, that's all it takes. You don't have to, you don't have to kill yourself in the gym. I used to do an hour and a half a day, 6 days a week. When I was 300 pounds and I could not lose the weight. I felt like such a failure. And I'm like, maybe if I can eat even less or I can work out even more. That was the wrong approach. I was actually overtraining, and overtraining can also keep you fat because it messes up your cortisol hormone levels. So 20 minutes a day of walking, and then once or maybe twice a week for 15 minutes, you've got to feel a little bit of pain. And there's two ways to feel the pain that will cause the most growth in your mitochondria. And one of them is lift really heavy things, as heavy as you can without stopping for 15 minutes. You probably won't make 15 minutes. And there's really four basic exercises. And I actually talked about some of these on the Dr. Oz show last week. And we were basically talking squats and push-ups and pull-ups and things like that. Very, very simple exercises, but done with high intensity and high strength. And if you do that, You'll be a little sore the next day, but your mitochondria, the weak ones, will die, and they'll be replaced by fresh, new, young, strong ones. And
Ah.
you'll maintain that muscle mass, you'll maintain your bone strength if you do that. Only once a week, only 15 minutes.
That is fascinating. So you wake up new mitochondria, you stimulate new mitochondria growth, and die off old one.
Exactly. And that's one of the
Fantastic.
tricks. Almost every one of the techniques that have nothing to do with food that are in Headstrong are around just sending a signal to the mitochondria that says, look, you better be strong. And when they get that signal, they're like, oh, I guess we should be strong. Let's make sure that the old, weak, misshapen mitochondria, the ones that are going to be cancer cells someday anyway, let's make sure that they die. And let's replace them with these young ones. But if you don't cause stress on those mitochondria, they won't cause stress on themselves because they're just little bacteria. They're quite lazy.
What about this whole stem cell therapy and the stem cell craze that's happening these days? Some of it's legit, some of it's not. How do you tell the difference? And can you get new mitochondria that way?
You probably can get new mitochondria that way. And you certainly will get different mitochondrial DNA that way, which is something that hasn't been well studied, but we know how it works. And your mitochondria, it turns out, they have their own DNA that's separate from your human normal nuclear DNA. And your mitochondrial DNA, strangely enough, only comes from your mother. So there's a book that came out, oh, I want to say 15, 20 years ago, called The Seven, or was it Nine? I think it was Nine Daughters of Eve. And it turns out that there's really only nine women who are we'll call them the source women for all humans on Earth, because you have the mitochondrial DNA of one of these nine women in you even today, with some mutation, but we can tell
Wow.
there was only these nine. It's really fascinating, and it probably explains why some religions are really obsessed with maternal bloodlines and things like that, and it's because your mitochondria really only did come from one of these very small number of women.
Of all time.
Of all time. The stem cell question is really interesting. As a professional biohacker, I am a guinea pig. I have, over the last couple of years, done, I don't want to say every kind, but just about every kind of stem cell treatment you can think of. And I put most of it on my Facebook page, where I live stream myself getting stem cells. About 5 days ago, I did an hour-long stem cell
Wow.
treatment with lidocaine on my face, and I only screamed a couple times.
Ouch.
And
Yes. Yes.
what you can do is unbelievable today. And a lot of people hear stem cells and they think something from 25 years ago. They think abortions and things like that. Stem cells have nothing to do with that. What happens in the United States today is you go into a stem cell doctor. They'll pull either some fat out of basically your back above your kidneys, using a big needle, or they'll pull something from your bone marrow. They'll go in through the back of your hip. It's not nearly as painful as you think. And yes, the videos are all on my webpage.
Good.
And
Wow.
then they spin this fat or this bone marrow, and they get the stem cells out, and then they inject them into the sites of injuries. I've had my stem cells put into my brain. I'm the second person ever to have that done prophylactically, just because I want my brain to stay young instead of to treat an advanced disease. And I have cured all of my old injuries. My brain works better than it ever has. I've had it stuck into my face, and I look younger than I did. And I've infused it intravenously, and it's one of several variables that I think caused me to, over the last 3 months, to cut the thyroid medication that I've been taking for 20 years. I've cut it by 70% because my thyroid gland is growing back. We are on the cusp of being able to use your own stem cells to make you younger than you were before. And I am doing that right now, and it is completely amazing and unbelievable.
So these are not sheep cells. These are not other unborn fetus cells. These are your own cells.
These are our own cells. No one uses these unborn fetal cells in treatment, at least not in the U.S. that I'm aware of.
Right, right.
It's actually a very old technology, and it's not necessary. I'm talking about my own cells from my body that are just put in the right place.
They're just taken out and then spun into a petri dish. Or put into a petri dish and grown in the right environment.
There are two different ways of doing it. One thing is you go in, they take your stem cells, and they put them back in your body right there, and you're done. And that's the most common. what you want to do, but something that's in a regulatory gray zone in the U.S. now, even though it's common in the rest of the world, is they'll take your stem cells, they'll put some of them back into you, and they save the rest, and then they grow them in a facility where they culture the stem cells, and then they put them in a stem cell bank. And I do have my stem cells banked, which means I have 25 doses of my stem cells that have been cultured based on that one, or actually a couple extractions I've had done. And so now, for the next probably 5 years, I have enough stem cells to do every procedure I can think of in my quest to live to at least 180.
Oh my God.
I'm very impressive in my use of them.
Well, you probably could. So you take your stem cells out and you put them into a petri dish as if you were eating 100% clean every single day of your life, that you slept forever, and that you exercised every single day of your life. You put them into the perfect environment that no human being could actually keep up with, but a petri dish could. And they grow and replicate the right way, and then you put them back in your body. Do they actually take into the body? Or does the body, the minute you introduce toxins, where you breathe or you drink water or you take a shower, does it kill them off? Do we know that?
Oh, we do know that they get taken into the body. There are just countless, countless examples of people who've had profound healing as a result of using their stem cells. One of them is my brother-in-law. He had a heart problem that was going to require surgery. It was something to do with one of the valves in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blanking on exactly the name of the condition. And he had some stem cells, and it magically, we call it magically, it was the magic of stem cells, it resolved itself. And his surgeon said, but this is a condition that requires surgery. It doesn't resolve itself, except it did.
Mm.
And I've had other people with a profound, like, traumatic brain injury who get stem cells done, and they get better in ways that defy logic. And one of them is the son of my good friend, J.J. Virgin, who runs the Virgin Diet.
Mm-hmm.
Who's I think you know JJ. Her son Grant, she wrote a book called The Miracle Mindset, and she used stem cells on him amongst every other technology known to man, and he came back from severe brain injury. And there are veterans of the wars getting stem cells in their brains who are coming back. They absolutely do get taken into his body. But if you get your stem cell treatment and you're taking pharmaceuticals that kill your mitochondria, mm-hmm. and you're drinking and you're eating fried foods,
mm-hmm.
no, they're not going to take. You have to set up your environment so you're strong. And that's the whole point of Headstrong, is how do you make the environment around you so that it supports your biology? Because when you do that, you get enough energy for your brain to work, and then a treatment like stem cells can come in, and it can do what they've done for me, which is make me younger and stronger and faster. And I can't even put words to the difference that stem cells have done for me, but it's very noticeable.
I have done a certain amount of research on it, and I think that it's helping a lot of people with regrow certain parts of damaged cells and nerve endings and so forth. But I'm wondering how it works on autoimmune disease, which tends to be pretty rampant in the United States at this point. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, yeah. There are lots of people who are having positive effects on autoimmune disease with stem cells, because stem cells go to the site of inflammation and then they cause healing to happen. So if you have autoimmune inflammation, you can have healing happen. But the first step would be turn off the autoimmune inflammation. Guess who controls inflammation in the body?
Mitochondria.
Mitochondria.
Ah, our friends again.
You do the things in Headstrong.
Really?
Even in the Bulletproof Diet, a lot of them turn off autoimmunity. Much of it comes from food. Other autoimmunity comes from the environment around you. If you're living in a moldy house, you have formaldehyde, you have natural gas leaks, you are going to have autoimmunity if you're susceptible to it. If you have chronic infections, you can get autoimmunity from this. If you get leaky gut from eating lots of grain, and sometimes even things like lentils can cause leaky gut if you're susceptible to them. You've got to clean that stuff out and do the stem cells. And I used to have an autoimmune thyroid condition called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I turned off the immunity, but my thyroid gland was still damaged. Well, it appears the damage is reversing as we speak right now.
My goodness. All right, Dave, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take callers, and you'll be able to use your awake brain to answer some phone calls from our listeners. All right, this is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr, and my guest is Dave Asprey from the Bulletproof brand, and also his latest book called Headstrong. Let's see, let's go to phone calls here. We've got Tom in Bozeman, Montana. Hi, Tom. Do you have a question for Dave Asprey?
Yeah, I'd like to know if there's a way to use his method to gain weight and quit smoking.
Okay, great question. Dave, do you have any suggestions on weight gain and quit smoking?
It turns out that if you can make your mitochondria work better, you'll make better use of the food you put in your body and you will normalize your weight. So if you're too thin, you'll gain weight. This is something that my wife actually had to do when I met her. She was so thin that it hurt to sit down. There wasn't padding on her butt. And she got that back when she fixed her mitochondria. And quitting smoking is much more complex because you're dealing with the psychological addiction from smoking, and you're also dealing with the effects of nicotine, which is less addictive than the act of smoking is. So one of the things that I've seen work is things like neurofeedback, where you hook your brain up to electrodes with a therapist, which can help to deal with the psychological side of it. And then using a nicotine product like the gum or the patch or spray, so that you can deal with a physical addiction and just ramp down from that. But it's the psychological thing that's tough. And neurofeedback is something that's been a huge part of my own personal path of becoming the entrepreneur I am today and getting rid of all of my bad habits so that I can just free that energy up to do other things. In
Yeah,
fact,
me
I even
too.
opened a neurofeedback institute in Seattle for that reason.
Oh, did you really? Did you really? Yeah,
It's called
go ahead.
40 Years of Zen. It's a thing for very focused training for executives, but that's how come I can do what I do now is because I taught my brain to not bother me.
Oh, interesting.
Other side of biohacking.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Tom. I just want to take another quick call before we go to another break. Is Lynn in Portland, Oregon? Hi, Lynn. Do you have a question for Dave Asprey?
Hi, I was wondering, I did a really strict Atkins diet for about 6 months and thought I was eating about 30 carbohydrates a day, but I forgot to subtract the fiber. So I was only eating about 15. And the weight was coming off really good, and my blood sugar and all that was really good, but it is kind of hard to stick to. It's something that strict because of, other family functions and all of that kind of stuff. But if you do the coffee and the collagen and all of that, does that have the same effect? Your blood sugar would still be really good without the inconvenience of the strict Atkins diet?
The bulletproof diet will turn off hunger the way the Atkins diet did if you have bulletproof coffee in the morning. And if you do what it says in the book, you end up going into ketosis for a little while and then coming out and going in for a little while. The Atkins diet doesn't account for toxins that slow your mitochondria, and it puts you in ketosis for long periods of time. So there are different approaches, but I find the bulletproof diet is easier, especially for women, where the weight will come off, but you don't over time you don't tend to get like the bad breath and the other things that happened with Atkins. I did the Atkins diet 25 years ago, and it helped me as well.
Does the low amount of carbohydrates affect brain function at all?
At first, you'll get brain fog when you do an Atkins diet or a very low carb diet, unless you're using that brain octane oil that kickstarts the state called ketosis, which is what we're looking for. So brain octane oil is a source of external ketones that will give you that energy boost so you don't feel the crash that would otherwise happen from being on a very low carb diet.
Interesting. All right. Thank you so much for your phone call, Lynn. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back with you, Dave. And this is Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. And my guest is Dave Asprey, who says in his book, Headstrong, normal is your nemesis on page 21. All right. Let's get back to our phone calls here. Eyesight, Thomas in La Jolla. Do you have a question for Dave Asprey?
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for taking my call. And I
Hi.
was commenting to Gina, the
Gina?
call screener, that you have such a healing quality to your voice. It's
Aww.
always a pleasure to hear your voice on the airwaves.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you so much. I love what I do.
Thank you.
Thank
And
you.
Dave, I look forward to purchasing your book. Many, in biology, eyes, retinas, and optic nerves are considered an extension of the brain, so to speak,
Yes.
in terms of you know, the cellular structure of the brain. Eyes, retinas, and optic nerves are considered like an extension of the brain. So is there any way to biohack eyes, retinas, and optic nerves to bring about their regeneration, their rejuvenation, so to speak?
Great question.
Yes, there is a way to do that. And this is something that I've been working on for myself. I've had a lot of light sensitivity, and I've also had a weakness on the left side of my visual field for a while. There is vision training you can do, but it turns out when you restore mitochondrial function, your eyes can get better very noticeably over a short period of time. Some of the mitochondrial enhancing supplements that I make can cause me to have less light sensitivity when I take them, because if you're inhibiting mitochondrial function in the eyes, you have less energy and the eyes don't work as well. But more importantly, for hacking your eyes, it's all about light exposure. If you go outside in normal sunlight for 20 minutes a day without sunglasses, without contact lenses, without any glass between you and the sun, and you get that little bit of ultraviolet light into your eyes, it'll lower your risk of being nearsighted. And if you eat more polyphenols, which are these important colored compounds in plants, and yes, in coffee and chocolate and tea, those are the richest sources. If you eat more of those, there's great evidence that it will support your eyes. There's even a new bulletproof supplement I put together for my own eyes called Eye Armor that puts in some of those compounds as well as antioxidants, things like bilberry. So normal sunlight exposure in the morning combined with the right nutrients in your eyes, also combined with true darkness at night. I use those true dark glasses at night. That combination can be profound. And if that isn't enough, the Bates method can help. And it's very important that you avoid white LED lights indoors all day long. If you're sitting under those all the time, they cause 23% more damage to your macula. You can also run a small current called a microtens across your eyes. I read about vision hacking on the Bulletproof blog, but that's kind of the short answer.
Microtens across your eyes? Interesting. So like a tens
small
unit across
your current. It's like a tens unit, but it's frequency specific.
And is it circulation for the eyes?
What it does is you go to the acupuncture points around the eyes and you put a little probe there and run a little current. It takes about 10 minutes a day. And in my father, for instance, his macular degeneration stopped progressing and actually started shrinking when he did it every day.
Wow. Fascinating. Yes, that's one of those other things about age, is that after a certain age, it's just the degeneration of the eyes happens so quickly. And I thought it was due to dehydration. But it's circulation, right?
It's circulation. It's also mitochondrial decline. If you're not getting that little bit of sunlight in your eyes don't make something called ocular melanin. And this is something I write about in Headstrong. So if for listeners interested in eye health, it all comes down to mitochondria. And this is the book that'll tell you what to do about your eyes.
It seems like mitochondria is the basis of everything. Thank you so much for your call, Tomas. I appreciate it. Thomas. All right, let's go back to our phone calls. We've got Jeff in Orlando. Hi, Jeff. What is your question for Dave Asprey? Sorry about that. Jeff, Orlando. Where is he?
Nicotine might be good for mitochondria, but it sounds like you didn't want anybody smoking cigarettes. Would you be more comfortable with somebody using an e-cigarette to get the nicotine? And also, do you recommend any smart drugs or even smart nutrients for brain health?
Absolutely. I actually manufacture nootropics as part of the Bulletproof product line. The big one is called Unfair Advantage, and the newest one called Neuromaster causes you to create brain-derived nootropic factor 4 times more than exercise. So your brain function is absolutely hackable. And that's one of our core product categories. Even brain octane, the oil, is a cognitive enhancer. But let's talk about nicotine. Smoking is really bad for you. Using whole tobacco, even if you're chewing it, is bad for you and causes oral cancer. Those are some of the compounds in the tobacco itself. When you're using pure nicotine, the effect is different. And e-cigarettes are much better than normal cigarettes, but there's increasing evidence that you're getting small particles of metal, these nanoparticles, that cause damage to the lungs. There's also questions about the purity of the glycerin or the other ingredients that are used in the liquids you put in an e-cigarette. The safest way of doing this in the U.S. that's approved is probably a patch, or you can order on Amazon a nicotine spray that's approved in Europe and approved in Canada, but not yet approved in the U.S., and that's what I use for cognitive enhancement on an occasional basis. In fact, I used 1 milligram of that before this interview so that I would be at my full state. Nicotine is currently the most studied smart drug in all of human history. Mother Nature's two smart drugs are coffee and tobacco. They're both the most studied, and they've been
wow.
used for thousands of years. They totally work. Nicotine and tobacco is bad for you.
What about, and thank you very much for your phone call. What about breath, like deep breathing or rapid breathing for mitochondria function? Does that work as well?
Oh, yeah. Your mitochondria are magnetically sensitive, exquisitely magnetically sensitive. Your heart is a huge magnet. It makes a field shaped like a donut that we can measure, and this is not woo-woo science, this is hard physics. And when it makes that field, it fluctuates according to your breath, and your mitochondria are listening to your heart to figure out what's going on, whether they should be in a stress mode or a non-stress mode. So one of the forms of breathing exercise that enhances your mitochondria is that you can do something called heart rate variability training. It costs about $100 to get a sensor that plugs into your phone, it clips on your ear, and then you breathe in and you breathe out. And as you do that, your heartbeat changes and your mitochondria listen to that. There's also something called the Wim Hof method, which I write about in the book as well, and something else called holotropic breathing. And what these are is rapid breathing exercises that also dramatically change your mitochondrial function. In fact, different techniques are in Headstrong, because even 5 minutes a day of structured breathing can totally transform your brain's ability to pay attention in a stressful situation or just to make you live longer.
Wim Hof was the man that went to the depths of the Arctic and also into Death Valley, right? So he has a way of controlling his brain. What is his breathing method?
His breathing method is profound. He's been a guest on Bulletproof Radio, my podcast, and graced the stage at the Bulletproof Conference. Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful guys I've ever met, just in terms of pure energy in the body. And what he does is very, very rapid breathing for about 40 breaths, and then you hold your breath out while exercising. And you do this for a little while, and then you jump in an ice bath. And it really stresses your mitochondria, so only the strongest ones are left. And this man climbed Mount Everest in shorts and a t-shirt with no oxygen. Like, he is a true superhuman.
Uh-huh.
It comes down to his mitochondria.
I saw him on a Tony Robbins stage, and he is, yeah, absolutely. So it's all about the mitochondria. Now, can yoga and different exercises, what about running? I mean, does extreme exercise also build mitochondria as well as not extreme exercise like yoga?
Well, yoga is going to be good for you in that it promotes relaxation and it can stimulate muscle growth. And I can put my ankles behind my head. I've practiced advanced yoga. And the pranayama, the breathing part of yoga, definitely influences your mitochondria. So any kind of exercise can have some influence. But if you want the most mitochondrial benefit from running in the least amount of time, I have good news for you. It's going to take you only 15 minutes a week. It's not going to take an hour a day. In fact, an hour a day can be counterproductive for many, many people. And what you do in your 15 minutes a day, and this is in Headstrong as well, sorry, 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a week, is once a week you sprint for about 400 meters or 90 seconds as fast as you can. And here's the thing that no one's ever written about, is at the end of the sprint, you lay on your back or at least sit down for a minute, and then you sprint again, then you lay down, then you sprint again, then you lay down, and then you're probably done because you're really tired.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes. It's the laying down that resets your stress response very, very quickly, and it's the sprinting that really tells the mitochondria, you should be ready because a tiger might be chasing you at any time. So make sure you're ready to be strong at any time, and that's all it takes. There's actually studies that show that those short sprints, it's called high-intensity interval training, trigger new mitochondria to grow. And your job as a high-powered human being is tell this battery system in your body that thinks it's in control, tell it that the world is one in which it better be ready to give you all the power you want at any time, and it will listen to that instruction.
If you can get up from your laying down. All right, let's go to another caller, our international line Toronto, Canada.
Hi.
Long
time listener since on or about 1997. I was in downtown Toronto. I had seen my friend walking away from the health show where George Norrie was earlier on today. And she wasn't in good condition, and it really hurts me to see the woman, I mean, a good person, walking with a bit of a wobble. And she helped me when she could, and I appreciate it, and I don't forget anything. And I would like to know, if someone's in their 70s, is there any way that we could help them if their stem cells are older than 30 or 40 years old to be able to walk? Her right leg seems to walk, like have an outswing, like a trail, and her left leg seems shorter. Or does that require chiropractic? Do we have to do chiropractic prior to extracting the stem cells from the, I don't know if you said butt cheek or the bone marrow?
Above the kidney. That's a great question. Can you have the stem cells extracted over 70?
My dad's 75. He had his stem cells extracted with me present last week. And he and my mom both actually are seeing benefits at that age. And another friend of mine, Betsy in San Francisco, who is 70, just lost 90 pounds over the last 2 years on the Bulletproof diet, which gave her radically more energy. So the first thing you want to do when you're that age is get on Bulletproof coffee, get some of those ketones going. You'll feel it in your brain very quickly. And your ability to make more energy in your body allows the body to start doing more of the healing it needs to do. And for a person with a wobble like that, it does sound like something called functional movement or possibly even chiropractic could help to lengthen out the muscles that are a problem there. And there's another thing called hydrodissection, which can help if necessary. That's like a second thing. You see a lot of major league pitchers do that. And there's a doctor, Dr. Matt Cook in Los Gatos, California, specializes in doing this in cases where the nerves and the fascia are connected wrong. And if you're 70, you've got to be on collagen. Like, try the Bulletproof coffee, put some collagen in there and see what happens. It doesn't take long to feel a difference.
Interesting. Thank you so much. And for your friend as well, I love that you are caring that much about her, that you want to help her. Lots of great suggestions there. Thank you. Dave, we have a minute. Cryotherapy, you love that, right? Dunk tank, ice bath, 118 degrees. You're into that, right?
Yeah. Tony Robbins and I both have cryotherapy chambers at home with liquid nitrogen. So we'll stand in air that's 270 degrees below zero for 3 minutes. And at home with Headstrong, I tell you how you can use a bowl of ice on your face to get a similar response in your body. So you don't need to go through this crazy stuff. There are affordable ways to do everything we talked about tonight at home.
That is great. Well, we want to live stronger, longer, and healthier, and you have lots and lots of ways to do that. So thank you so much. Lots of great information, Dave. And I appreciate you being with me late at night here. And again, the name of the book is called Headstrong. Dave Asprey is my guest. You are fabulous, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right. Take good care. Okay. We will be back. This is Lisa Garr. You are listening to Coast to Coast AM. Stick with us.